You're listening to a Joy podcast. Joy podcasts provide diverse voices for Australia's LGBTI communities, and it can't be done without your support. Radiothon is on now, so join up, renew, or extend your membership today at joy.org.au and help keep us out loud and proud on Joy 94.9.
You bitch!
How bad it gets.
Sally, I think I'll buy the flowers myself.
But you're not a girl, you're a guy. And why would a guy want to marry a guy?
Don't stomp your little last season Prada she's a me, honey.
John Callio, will you go around with me?
Don't fuck with me, fellas!
Oh, I feel so damn.
I knew how to quit you.
Is butter a curve?
I had a hunch you might be a real romantic.
We were decoys. He used us as bait. We procured for him.
We could have had a good life together. Fucking real good life. But you didn't want it, Ennis. So what we got now is broke right now.
You are listening to Outtakes, the home of queer cinema on Joy 94.9. And that was our special Radiothon intro, which I'm sure we'll talk more about in a moment, because tonight, of course, we are celebrating Radiothon, celebrating 25 years of Joy and 25 years of queer cinema.
Yay. Hooray!
Yay!
So, with us in the studio, Joy has a long, illustrious history of supporting cinema, and we've had quite a few queer cinema shows along the way. There was the red carpet back in South Melbourne days, the casting couch, but joining us this evening are two people who featured very heavily in the Wonder Year. Oh, that was Pink Popcorn, 2010's premier queer film show. Welcome, Kylie and Paul.
Hi, everyone.
Hello, everyone.
And that was, of course, your ye old school intro mashed up with our current intro.
Wow, that's been a long time since I've heard that, and I am having a little bit of a...
flashback.
To good
PTSD.
Times. Good times.
Good.
Yeah. Orchestral scores.
Excellent.
Love it.
Well, yes, welcome. I did have to laugh when I looked up your resumes, and Pink Popcorn seemed to be missing on there, but we might fix that. I mean, that's, you know, Outtakes is the first thing on the top of my resume when I'm
as well of, it should be.
Jim. As it should be, because there's not much else, because I'm raising a baby at the moment. No, I'm kidding. But tonight is Radiothon, and we do need people to message in, to renew their memberships, to donate, to become new members, because it costs $1.91 to keep Joy on air per minute.
I thought you were going to say just like $1.91.
No, we're not the ABC. I mean, sorry, no, it does. It's $1.91 to keep us on air for 1 minute. So we do want people to message in to join. You can win an amazing trip.
When we're joined by Alan, our co-host, who's not with us tonight.
No.
But, you know, he can take a minute to say a very simple sentence sometimes. That's an expensive sentence.
See, it just cost you $3 right there.
So we miss you, Alan. You know, no meaning. Mean-spirited.
Well, he's having a holiday. But if you do renew your membership or join anywhere between May 1 to June 30, you can win a 7-day trip to LA. So you're listening to this show because you like Hollywood, you like the films. So why not go and visit Hollywood? Maybe go up and watch the Outfest Film Festival. All you need to do is message on 0427JOY949 and become a member. Phone in on 1300JOY949. Go on the website. Join, renew, donate, send us a message, say hi to the old folks here we've got here from the olden days.
The old folks.
Old folks. They're my age, so I can't
slowly,
say that, actually.
So the oldies can understand.
There is no doubt that Joy is a critical voice in our community, and we need funds to be able to stay on air. That's why your memberships are so important. So please do use this opportunity, use Radiothon to renew your membership or to take out a membership if you don't have one. And you know what? Because
we're
feeling
back,
generous.
We?
Yeah. Anyone who signs up over the next hour during this Outtakes Radiothon program, we will we'll give you a double pass to see one of three films.
Ooh.
So you can take your pick. You can have a double pass to see Tea with the Danes, which Ooh. Is in cinemas June 7. It's a documentary featuring four very well-known actresses, Judi Dench, Joan Plowright, Maggie Smith, Eileen Atkins. So you can have a double pass to Tea with the Dames if you sign up over the next hour. Or Brothers Nest, the new Australian film starring Shane Jacobson and Clayton Jacobson, brothers, I believe. Or then again, Foxtrot, which I'm not really across, but I'm guessing, Paul, that you might be.
Mm. It's outstanding. Yeah, it's... Israeli drama, actually. It's a hard one to describe, but...
worth seeing.
It's worth seeing, yeah. The filmmaker, he made a film 8 years ago. We were talking before about filmmakers who take a long time between drinks, and he's one of them. But no, it's a pretty intense drama, but it's definitely worth it.
So, look, we're happy to give you a double pass to any one of these films. Message in, let us know which film you'd like to go and see. And do please use this opportunity to renew your membership. The number again?
0427JOY949 if you want to SMS, or you can phone the desk on 1300JOY949 or email us on air at joy.org.au or literally like I did this morning, go on the website, hit the link on joy.org.au and you can renew, you can donate, you can join, all that, really easy.
Or just join in our conversation this okay. evening. We are celebrating 25 years of Joy, 25 years of queer cinema, because of course the cinema landscape and indeed the queer cinema landscape has changed dramatically over the past 25 years for a number of reasons, which we'll explore as the program progresses this evening. But before we get to that, Paul and Kylie, tell us a little bit about the creature that was Pink Popcorn.
It was a bit of a creature. I mean, I think for me is I just was completely unwilling to give up talking about movies on Joy. I loved it so much. So I was part of the original The Red Carpet. I was also on the casting couch. And then when the lads from the casting couch kind of decided to that it was time for a break, rightly so, I kind of pitched this idea to Paul about doing a show called Pink Popcorn, which was more about essentially a queer eye across all cinema. So it wasn't just, we didn't just focus on what was happening in the queer world, but essentially anything that was screening that we could have some kind of discussion about. And really, it was just an excuse. Paul and I have been friends for a really long time and love cinema. And it was just an excuse really for us to get together every week and talk about the subject that we care about the most. Movies.
Yeah, it was fun. It was definitely that queer eye. It was finding those little nuggets, which is really hard. Like every week, you know, you go to this commercial cinema and to try to find a queer element in there. This is 8 years ago when we had the show, and I think now it'd be so much easier. My gosh. I think now that idea of finding something queer within a very straight mainstream film. But back then, it was only 8 years ago. It was
only eight years
ago.
And look, we still look so young.
Oh, my gosh. If only you could see us now.
Kylie, I might ask you and Conrad this, because Conrad was sometimes a special guest on Pink Popcorn, and I listened to the podcast, so Alan used to be on the desk.
Yes,
it was kind of
Alan,
mashup of everyone amazing. In this room. Now, so you look at... put a queer lens on kind of mainstream films. Now, you and Conrad have a bit of a secret shame.
It's not secret and it's
not
shameful.
Okay, we'll let the audience judge that.
You're already judging.
I'm judging. Step up. Step up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and So I hear a TV show.
Well, it's on YouTube. YouTube has just launched Step Up, the web series on YouTube. It's amazing.
So dramatic.
And really, Conrad and I, once again, it is not shameful and it's definitely not secret. Conrad and I bond over dance films generally. Yes. So I think it's the genre of dance films are incredibly appealing and often are very campy. And for me, I've loved the idea of being the creative outsider. You know, I've always wanted to be a welder and also pursue ballet.
And we all.
And, you know, so really those kind of storylines appeal to me. And Step Up just takes it to the next level.
Speaks to us on so many levels.
It's political.
It's
you know,
it's political.
Oh, it is so political because often there is some kind of big business threatening to shut down the dance man. Studio.
Yeah, it's always the man.
And they really need to show them that that shouldn't be done through dance. So,
so true.
I mean.
And I think it's the best way to do it, right?
The only way.
The only
but
way.
But you see, you know, we have done a couple of programs, I think, on queering these kind of dance films. And so, you know, Paul, you were saying a moment ago that it was hard, you know, 8 years ago finding queer nuggets in films. But when you cast quite a wide net and think about...
Very wide.
No. I mean,
big holes in it. Yeah.
There is something to be said for the queerness of the outside character who is kind of... and this is a trope we see quite often in these kind of dance films, like as we did in films like Billy Elliot, for instance. Mm. There is quite a lot to queer cinema. There's many, many different types of queer cinema and therefore many different types of queer films.
And no shame. I also, only do I love Step Up films and dance films, I also am really passionate about coming out films, which I know also as a genre tends to get sometimes it's a bit passé these days, but for me,
I just
think that is, when it's done well, it is still
so
an incredibly...
So what was your take on Love, Simon?
Yeah, Love, Simon.
So, oh my God, this is so embarrassing.
She loved it.
No, I haven't seen it yet.
No, thank you, Simon.
But I desperately want to go and see it, and unfortunately just the timing of queer film this year, I wanted to go and see it with a queer audience, so I'm confident that I will love it. I have no doubt in my mind.
Kylie, I'm like
it.
You
Gina,
I haven't had
to go see it.
Yeah, we'll go see it together. Love. Might have to go to
Gina,
a baby cry baby session
it?
No, I haven't seen it, but you know what, I know a lot of kids that are currently, because I mentor a few kids at the university that are in the age group that is targeted for Love, Simon, who have gone and seen it repeatedly. And that is the point of this film, that they are loving to go and see this repeatedly. So for me, I already love it. I haven't even seen it because its target audience is just falling in love with this film and feeling great going to see this film with a variety of people with them. So for me, it's a great film. I haven't even seen it, but, you know, I'm in.
Well, our Radiothon special is just getting started. More on the history of queer cinema, the past 25 years of queer cinema with our Joy Movie Show alum coming up right after this. But in the meantime, if you do want to renew your membership, Gina, the numbers are
0427 Joy 949, or you can phone the desk 1300 Joy 949. Jump on the website www.joy.org.au. If you do renew your membership or join or even give us a donation, you'll win. We've got 3 passes to films to give away.
And you'll also go into the running to fly off to...
Oh, yeah, that LA
trip.
Who needs
an LA trip?
We're not eligible.
You can get a double
That's
pass.
Why I'm just like, yeah, I'll get the double pass.
More coming up on Outtakes right after this.
Sign up, renew or extend your Joy membership this Radiothon and you could win our major prize. Premium economy flights for 2 from any capital city in Australia, plus 7 nights accommodation in Los Angeles, courtesy of Joy sponsor Virgin Australia.
It would be so nice.
Yes, sign up, renew or extend your Joy membership between May 1 and June 30 to be in the draw. Head to joy.org.au to sign up now or call 1300-JOY-949. Joy, 25 years proud.
You are listening to Outtakes, the home of queer cinema on Joy 94.9, where this evening we are celebrating 25 years of Joy, 25 years of queer cinema.
Hey, and we've got a membership that's come in. Hooray. So we're doing our job. We're not going to get fired. Thanks to Richard from Caulfield for signing up and becoming a Joy member.
So, Richard, you have become a it's a family membership. Go, Richard. Basically, you are in the draw now for that LA trip. You are also going to win one of these movie passes. You haven't told us which film you would like.
So, the three choices. You can have a double pass to Tea with the Dames, a double pass to Brothers Nest, or a double pass to Foxtrot. So, three films coming out this month. Anyone who takes out a membership over the next hour will take home one of these two double passes.
And just to give an idea, if you want to become a member, an individual member is $84. Family membership, like Richard, $124. Concession is $42. Please join a dollar something a minute to run this station, and a button just fell off the panel, so clearly. we're needing your donations, so please, please send money.
Now, we are, of course, joined by Kylie Eddy and Paul Tonta this evening, who are Joy Movie Show alum, of course, famous for pink popcorn.
I mean, we use that term pretty loosely around here.
Tell us why. Why is it so important that we have cinema shows on the air, cinema shows running here at Joy? And tell us a little bit about pink popcorn.
I mean, I think for me, just being able to actually have a discussion about film where your queerness is at the centre of the discussion. Mm. So even though if we're talking about mainstream films, that there's still an opportunity for us to just have our own perspective on that. And it's really important, even with the incredible representation that we now have on screen. And certainly when I started, oh my God, I'm really going there. Like back when I had to walk to the Joy Studio in South Melbourne in the snow.
14 kilometres.
Oh, it was so fun. My Birkenstocks in Melbourne winter. I went my Birkenstocks above the hardware store, which was just a bonus for me as far as I was concerned.
You could buy an Allen key from the hardware store.
Oh, yes, you didn't need Allen then. And, you know, then it was really hard to actually find enough content. Mm. And it was so exciting whenever there was a film that even had a little bit, a little skerrick of a GLBTIQ character. Mm. And now we are kind of, I still think it's really important because, you know, that is how we absorb what we see, and until we see it, we don't know it can exist for us. And that's what I think is so exciting. I mean, Paul, you probably have I'm not sure if you have a different perspective.
No, absolutely true. And we were talking about mainstream cinema and finding the queer kernels in there, but we're also, I mean, that for me was part of it. But the other important thing is actually talking about queer cinema, either in, you know, new release or in a retrospective cinema or on home entertainment, being released on home entertainment, without mentioning where it was playing, we were like, this is a film that's great for these reasons. Just go and check it out. You know, just Google where it's playing, or it's, you know, on DVD. Gosh, I'm reckon the days of DVD.
I have a giant DVD collection.
They're shiny round things. So that's why. And we're just picking this out, and you must see this film because of X, Y, and Z.
You were saying before that you thought over the last 8 years, in the time between Pink Popcorn and Outtakes, there's been a kind of big change in the films that we're seeing, and we're seeing far more queer films.
Yep.
Do you think we're there yet?
No, I don't think we'll ever get there. But when you realise... I think Solo, for example, okay, and this is one thing that irks me. Solo is a fun film, but when they talk about Lando Calrissian...
Not having a fun time at the box office.
Well, not so much, but, you know, compared to, the, you know, yeah, everything else that Star Wars has grossed. But the thing about the Lando Calrissian, they're talking about how he was pansexual. It's like, well, don't tell us this.
Right.
For God's sake, show us this. Right. And that's the thing that's... this is a transitory moment where you go, okay, it's Star Wars, it's Disney. Like, that... massive, massive film. For him to come out and say that, that's a groundbreaking thing, but it still annoys me.
Well, Disney has come under fire for being the kind of parent studio here. GLAAD's Studio Responsibility Index, there we go, report this past year has indicated that representation in Disney films, and by Disney, I mean the mother company here, the parent company, is at an all-time low.
It's easy to fix, though.
It is easy.
They just need to give Elsa a girlfriend, and according to a hashtag that is going hot on Twitter, next Frozen They just need to make Elsa.
Well, here's the thing. I guess the point I'm making is that according to GLAAD, GLAAD, of course, is the organization in the US that monitors these cinema trends, amongst other things. According to GLAAD, representation is at an all-time low when it comes to these big Hollywood studios.
Oh, right.
Mm.
So we're definitely not there.
But that thing about Star Wars telling us.
Correct.
Not showing us, not actually being explicit about it. It's afterwards, oh, we think he's pansexual. It's like, you know, what it's like, okay, that's the difference is we need to actually start showing that rather than...
And do you think...
And Deadpool, Deadpool's another one in the comics, original comics. Like, he's a bisexual character. But in the film, the first film, he's not. Like, there's nothing explicitly queer about him.
And Thor is another really great example.
Oh, okay, yep.
I didn't see... Thor, because I'm boycotting Marvel films lately because they're all the same. But I mean, there are so many examples of films where we could very easily have. I mean, apparently in Thor there was a hint at a bisexual romance that was left on the cutting room floor because the director thought it would detract from the overall plot.
There's an interesting queer moment in Ready Player One. Like there's really interesting queer moments in some of these big films that you just go, and you're always surprised and you go, wow, and I don't want to be surprised. I want to get to the point where I'm not surprised, you know, and you go, oh, I'm expecting that. That was Ready Player One. I thought it was a very interesting queer moment.
I thought so too. I actually really enjoyed that film despite myself because it's also there are a lot of allusions to cinema more broadly.
Yeah.
But there's no doubt representation is an idea that we come back to again and again and again on this program. We've had so many wonderful guests on the program who have joined with us to champion the importance of representation. Amongst them, Ruby Rich, Sue Maslin, Barry Jenkins, Graham Mason, the CEO of Screen Australia, Luca Guadagnino, who recently directed Call Me By Your Name, Megan Townsend from GLAAD, Anna Kokinos, and we've pieced fragments of what they had to say together in this short snippet, which I think really does demonstrate why representation is so important.
We have a genre of filmmaking now where we used to have nothing but a barren wasteland. By now, certain things have been done, certain things have been tried, and yet every generation seems to want, once again, to have the very basic lines of their story outlined again for them.
Representation is terribly, terribly important because we use screen culture as a way to dream, as a way to aspire. There's an empathy and engagement that when we go into a cinema or even watching on television, we really look to those characters to say something about the things that we might think and feel.
As a storyteller, I saw an opportunity to be an active ally. It's one of those things where it's like, I have to get this right, you know, because it's very important because we don't see this very often, you know, and yet people have lived this.
It's daft to not tell stories for the full breadth of the country.
The importance of diversity is because it reflects who we are as a society. You know, most of us have different heritages and it's really important that when we're looking at cinema, that those that heritage that people have, the experiences that people have, are actually reflected back to us as a true representation of the society we live in.
It's very important to see trans people on screen, hopefully living more and more normalised lives. But, you know, obviously when I was growing up, there was no one trans on screen, which makes for a very isolating experience.
At that time, I felt that I wasn't seeing stories that reflected something about my lived experience on screen.
What we need to do is encourage people early on in the pipeline to flood it with stories by and or about people from the diverse spectrum that make up Australia.
It is about non-straight identity. It's about being somehow sort of resistant or sort of oppositional to the mainstream or to a dominant straight culture. I think that's a really important part.
Of all the words that have to be embraced, the word queer is the most important because it's the one that drives us toward the path of the unclassifiable.
Yes.
And in this way, I believe that my intuition is also my queerness.
The characters that we get to see in TV and film have the opportunity to foster understanding. They get exported around the world, especially in those countries where, you know, even just being out as LGBT can be a huge risk. Those characters, they can start that process of getting to know an LGBT person when you maybe don't know one in real life.
When you see yourself reflected on the screen, you know you belong. You think, well, you know, I belong to this society, I belong here.
I think that we're in an era when the imagination really needs to be plumbed much more deeply. And we're also in such fascinating and distressing times of backlash, of new threats, of new celebration, of new rights. It's hard to sort it out. And I think that we need our films and television to sort it out for us, to help us sort it out.
Well, a slew of famous voices there. That was Ruby Rich just there. We need cinema to sort things out for us. But also Barry Jenkins, the director of Moonlight, Luca Guadagnino, the director of Call Me By Your Name, Anna Kokkinos, the marvelous...
Was that when I, like...
When you fangirled? Fangirled hard. A number of voices there praising the importance of representation, and indeed that's really what we're about here on Outtakes at the end of the day.
So, as we all know, queer film matters. I mean, we hear this every time the MQFF Film Festival is on, and we're always asking, why do we need a festival? We know what we need, the festival. But equally so, we need joy. We need a space that we can have each week, sit here and celebrate and discuss queer film. So please, we need you to support Joy. Jump online, www.joy.org.au. If you renew or join, you can win a trip to LA premium class. Fancy class. So jump on, join, renew, and you can also win three passes.
So we're giving away a double pass to Brothers Nest, a double pass to Tea with the Dames, and a double pass to Foxtrot. So anyone who takes out a membership within the next hour or half an hour now, we will send you a double pass of your choice.
Fabulous. And we actually have had... Another membership from Steve from Mitcham. So thank you, Steve, for joining and becoming a member. You're going to get one of those little films.
Double
Which
passes.
One of double passes.
Perhaps not the whole film. But
Be generous.
We are, of course, celebrating 25 years of Joy on Outtakes this evening, 25 years of queer cinema. More coming up right after this.
Did you know only 0.4% of our 396,000 monthly Joy listeners support us financially? If you love what we do, please show your support this radiothon. This year, there's a new way to show your love. Grab a Joy Passionate Supporters Pack, complete with our 25-year t-shirt, commemorative pin, and our bumper sticker. But hurry, there's only 250 tees available. Head to joy.org.au and click the Passionate Supporter button now. Joy, 25 years proud.
You are listening to Outtakes, the home of queer cinema on Joy 94.9, where this evening we are celebrating 25 years of Joy, 25 years of queer cinema. And the reason is because we are, of course, celebrating Radiothon.
Yes, we are. See? Jenna needs to...
On the ball.
I'm writing down the details from Steve from Mitcham so that we can make sure we send him one of the lovely gifts for joining up and becoming a member.
Well, that's right. So we are using this opportunity to ask our listeners to renew your membership if you have one, or sign up and become a member if you're not a member. And anyone who does so will go in the running to take home two airfares to LA, which is an incredible prize. But we're also giving away double passes this evening. Double passes to Brothers Nest, the new film with Shane Jacobson and Clayton Jacobson. Tea with the Dames, which is a documentary about four leading ladies on the screen. Mm-hmm. And Foxtrot, the new Israeli drama. All of these films hit cinemas this month. And anyone who signs up over the course of the next hour will go home with a double pass.
But we're very lucky tonight because we've brought home... They are home, aren't they?
It feels very comfy.
They feel very comfy in here. We have from Pink Popcorn, which was that 2010 or 2011?
Well, a
bit of both.
Bit of both.
Bit of crossed over.
Yes.
I heard a podcast where you did a radiothon, I think, for 2011.
Yeah, we did.
And you two joined up on air, so I won't hint, nudge to get you to join up again.
We may have to do that. Yep.
But so,
what movie pass do you want? No.
Oh, yeah. I like how this is going. Now, Paul, you have also been travelling. You've been away for the last couple of weeks.
I have. I've been to
the film festival.
I work for a distributor and go to film festivals and look to films to acquire. Mm. Yeah, and it's been a great, it actually has been a very, very good year so far, like end of last year and this year for queer cinema. But hooray, lesbian cinema.
Yes! That's exciting. Oh,
finally.
Tell us more.
Finally,
tell us
it's
more,
the best that's fun we can say. The best of the year, because it's a big,
oh, thank God.
Lean years.
Yes!
Disobedience.
Yeah.
Let's just, oh my
wait.
God. As, I mean, everyone's just got to say it. Don't.
Yes.
Disobedience. So it's a new year. It's a director of a fantastic woman.
Sebastian Lelio.
Exactly,
Lelio?
Yes.
We had him on the program when A Fantastic Woman
great.
Came out. Yeah.
Excellent. So it's his English language film with Rachel McAdams and Rachel Weisz.
Yes. Love.
And Alessandro Nivola for the boys because he's spunky. but no, but it's one of the great films of the year, full stop. Like, it premiered last year, but it was at MQFF. And it's coming to cinemas very soon. Mm. Flat Out, one of the best films of the year. You've got to see that.
Fabulous.
The other one is the Miseducation of Cameron Post, which, you know, it's quite a popular YA novel. It won the top prize at Sundance this year. So it's not only one of the best films of the year, it's, you know, it's one that, you know, the top prize.
It's screening at Sydney Film Festival, I think, over the next couple of weeks.
Yes, Sydney Film Festival starts on Wednesday, so yes. It's,
and Melbourne Film Festival in August.
Yeah, maybe playing there, let's hope. It's playing there, yeah.
I believe it is.
Yeah, oh, good, excellent. Oh, it is. Excellent. Good.
Yay.
We'll see it then in August. And there's a number of foreign language films called The Heiresses, which is fantastic as well. Rafiki, which caused a lot of controversy.
This got standing ovation, didn't it?
It did.
With the filmmakers over there in Cannes.
Which is pretty amazing. It's a Kenyan lesbian drama. And
banned in Kenya.
Correct.
Oh.
So can't be shown. Yeah, Kenyan people can't see it because
We are spotlighting the Sydney Film Festival next week. And fingers crossed we'll have the director on the program.
Excellent.
Oh, so that's fantastic. Brilliant.
Fingers crossed.
Yep. Yay.
And there's a lot of other, and I think also trans films. There's some incredible trans films coming out. One in Cannes that it won the top prize, the Queer Palm, which is the top queer prize. It also won the Camera d'Or, which is the best first film. It's called Girl, French film, and that's pretty amazing. And that's been picked up for distribution, so it'll be coming. A film, A Kid Like Jake, as well, with Jim Parsons.
Trans director?
Correct.
Behind
Silas
that?
Howard, yep. Yeah. So trans director who's worked a lot in television, Transparent, and short films. And that's I love that film. Disclosure, it's the company I work for is distributing it, but I love that film. And again, you've got, you know, Jim Parsons was an openly gay man, used his clef, you know, his real power to get this film made, because he's such a, you know, a draw with the Big Bang Theory, isn't it? Yeah, that's right.
Well, he's of course starring in Boys
yes.
in the Band
on Broadway right now.
Excellent cast
yes.
on Broadway.
Awesome.
So yeah, there's lots of great documentaries about Alexander McQueen, and talking before, probably my personal favourite film of the year is the director, his name's Yen Tan. He's a Malaysian American. This film's called 1985 and it was at South by Southwest. He previously has made films called Chow and Pit Stop. I'm very minimalist, very emotional, really
amazing.
Just gets me every. So hopefully that'll be appearing. Well, you'll be able to see it somewhere. But generally, lesbian cinema. That's 2018.
Finally.
It's exciting.
After Moonlight, Call Me By Your Name, I was just sitting there going, why can't we have lesbian films like this? Just gorgeous and luscious and slow and beautiful. And
we should probably differentiate because we are kind of focusing on the way that queer cinema has evolved over the past 25 years in the lifespan of Joy. We have had lesbian films, but there's a difference.
I love that Kylie and I came and looked at your spreadsheet and had to manually add
the spreadsheet
them.
That I had prepared. There are a number of lesbian
our spreadsheet master.
On this.
A couple. Though I think this is, maybe I might interject, this is a really interesting kind of idea about just maybe when we're talking about lesbian films and lesbian representation in cinema, is that, you know, and I'm going to name drop because I feel like if ever there was a time, this is the time. In 2004, there was an incredible lesbian film called My Summer of Love. It was Emily Blunt's breakout film, and I met her when she was here doing her press tour for that film. It's literally her first film. She was like only 20 years old, and it was at the Como Theatre, and we were part of the press call as part of the red carpet. And, you know, obviously complete unknown, and we went in there and interviewed her for the red carpet. And one of the questions that I asked was, you know, it's so exciting to see lesbian characters on screen, or even just a coming of age film of women exploring their sexuality, whether they're bisexual or lesbian. You know, can you tell me more about the process of, you know, when you're rehearsing that, you know, what, how, you know, how was that discussed? And you could have heard a pin drop. And then she said, it's stayed with me for the longest time. She said, yeah, that never came up. They literally never discussed that the characters could be perceived as lesbian.
What?
And the director, who's a man, it just literally never came up. And I think that this is part of the interesting kind of history of lesbians in cinema, is that there is a perception, it's a male-dominated industry, and that there is a perception that if penetration isn't involved, then it really doesn't matter, and they're not really, they're just, you know, it's just cute experimentation. It's just, you know, it's not really, like, they're just two women being hot,
chasing,
making
Amy
out. Like, of, it's kind of, and it's, I just found that so fascinating in a film where literally the entire premise of the film is about this intense friendship that really turns sexual. And if you look at the reviews now, all of the reviews, you say, it's a lesbian film, this is a lesbian film. And for them to have never really discussed it is pretty mind-blowing. And she was gorgeous even then, very charismatic even then. Just going back to the important part of when the time I met Emily Blunt.
So then,
nice full circle.
Just M. Just, it's M now. Just
we're best friends, best friends.
In looking at lesbian cinema then, and films like in, was it 2013, we had Blue is the Warmest Colour, 2015, Carol, I mean, it's sad that you really have to, like, lucky if you get one film a year. This year, Disobedience. Are we starting to see a change in the way that lesbians are represented on the screen?
But again, I think we need to identify that women filmmakers are still a tiny portion of the marketplace.
Yes.
So when these films are getting made, it is rare that they're getting made, because it is so difficult to make films, not only in Australia but abroad as well. They have similar problems overseas.
Well, it was
overseas.
Interesting because when we ran that seminar at the beginning of the year as part of the
Better Together Conference.
Correct.
Yeah.
And we had a discussion with a number of industry stakeholders, including Anna Kokkinos. And one thing that she said was that the issues with queer representation on the screen, at the end of the day for her, come down to gender.
Mm.
And that until there is gender parity in the film industry, there won't be equal representation or nuanced or accurate representation on the screen, not just in terms of gender, but in terms of sexual diversity as well. I thought that was a really interesting and probably very true
idea.
It's
very true. Absolutely very true.
It is true. 100% true.
And, you know, I was kind of, I've been to recent seminars with, you know, Anna, with Sue Maslin, and everyone kind of talking. Nobody's yet verbalised the word, we need quotas. Nobody has said that yet, but they're kind of skimming around.
I feel like Sue Maslin is pretty...
She's close. She hasn't said it yet.
And certainly the Natalie Miller Foundation, and around that, there has definitely been talk of quotas.
Mm.
So, I mean, I think... I'm personally all for quotas.
Yes, same.
Well, Film Victoria went the opposite route, didn't it? It has a number of incentives for female filmmakers.
Screen Australia.
It has,
Screen Australia.
Yeah. Where you can bring people on if you're getting so much funding, and then you can, I think, attach someone onto that project as well. So the Gender Matters stuff is getting across, but more work needs to be done.
But I just, you know, and just on that point with the Gender Matters, and once again, this is a slightly maybe controversial opinion, is that Gender Matters really focused on female filmmakers working with other women, and that's not really the problem. Women are awesome at working with other women. It's actually men relinquishing some of that privilege to allow other stories to be heard and for other voices, whether it's people of colour, women, queers, like just really some different stories. So I actually think now is a really exciting time for cinema, and really excited for some new stories to be told.
Absolutely.
And film schools, like the base level, it's like we need, it's almost like we need quotas in film schools.
Well, actually, film schools 50-50.
Yeah,
well, it's 50-50.
Except
50.
When it comes to the trade, so soundies and techies.
Yeah, but that's...
Yeah, that's where the
cinematographers.
So you're getting a lot of writers, a lot of producers, a lot of directors where it's 50-50. But when it comes to the tech crew, the people that help you make the film, that's where we need
more
women.
The question has always been, what happens between graduation and entering the film
industry?
Yeah,
it's called systemic sexism.
Yeah.
And, you know, it really is... It is
real.
It's patriarchy.
I do think, though, over the past year or two, especially with the Me Too movement and like movements across the world, we are starting to unpack and at least have discussions about some of these systemic gender issues in all industries, but particularly in the film industry.
I mean, it'll be really interesting if that conversation turns to action. I'm kind of sick of talking about it.
Yeah.
I made a film in 2007, of which it was two female characters. One was a lesbian and one was fat. And that at that time, and certainly when I got funding and when I was talking to Screen Australia, the comments I was getting is, do they have to be, like, does she have to be so fat? Does she have to be so lesbian? And, you know, that's like a decade ago. I wonder if what those conversations would be like now. So we've got a ways to go.
That was the repeat of what Anna Kokonos said when she, remember when we interviewed her for Melbourne International Film Festival when they were doing the retrospective, and she was one of the directors who got the support, what was it, 20 years ago?
And
he's saying the same problems that they had 20 years ago.
Well, she said it was an easier time to get support 20 years ago.
But oh, really?
Yeah.
That is what she said. But in any event, we have filmmakers from outside of Australia, like, for instance, Luca Guadagnino, who was telling us about how far the studio has pushed him to try and, for instance, have the mother...
Because there was no antagonist in the film.
Filmmakers are still experiencing the same kind of pushback. Look, we're chatting about...
Going off on another tangent, but it's fabulous.
It's
an interesting tangent all the same. We are celebrating queer cinema this evening, 25 years of it to mark 25 years of joy for this radiothon edition of Outtakes. More coming up on Outtakes right after this.
Joy to the world. joy.org.au.
You are listening to Outtakes, the home of queer cinema on Joy 94.9, where this evening we are celebrating Radiothon by reviewing the past 25 years of queer cinema, really glossing the last 25 years of queer cinema. And to help us do that, we're joined by the Pink Popcorn crew. Now, Pink Popcorn was a film show here at Joy in 2010, 2011. So, Paul and Kylie, thank you so much for joining us for Radiothon this year.
It's really actually fun. I feel like by the time this hour is over, I will have got my sea legs back and I'll be really ready.
Brilliant. So Radiothon is not just about us getting to talk about film every week. It's also about supporting the station. And I think just to kind of tie it back to what we were talking about before, I think one of the things that a lot of industries could learn from community radio is about representation and about the fact that, you know, it gives everyone a voice. Mm. And Joy does a great job of that. So support Joy, become a member, join up at joy.org.au. You could win the major prize, which is a 7-day trip for two to LA, premium economy trip, plus, this is the bit we've been forgetting, 7 nights accommodation.
Oh.
Like, that is a prize to win, folks.
We're signing up.
We're eligible.
Excellent. We're eligible.
Do it.
Well, you have to do it before 8, so it counts as part of Outtakes.
Okay. Yeah. Let's do it.
Now, we are big fans of a good quiz here on Outtakes. Usually it's Alan versus Gina and they both lose. But this, but this evening...
That's true.
and everybody at home is yelling out the answers. Yeah. Don't you know the answer? Yeah.
This evening we are going to pit the Pink Popcorn crew, so Paul and Kylie,
old
against
school.
The Outtakes crew, Gina and Conrad.
It's just like step up, Kylie.
Step up three.
The dance off is on.
See you in the streets.
3D.
Is it step up 3D? Yeah.
And I promise to be impartial, unbiased, adjudicator. So question one, I'm going to play a clip. And the first team to answer the star, the film, and the year of the film wins. It's an easy one to start us off.
What good is sitting alone in your room?
Liza.
I don't know the year. I have no idea the year.
Just throw it out there. 77.
Oh, you were close.
Yeah, that Star Wars is 77. Because it won Best Director, didn't it? 70.
Yeah.
Godfather 2, 74? 72. 72 or 74?
72. There we go. I'm going to give you a point. So it's
this is how Paul actually works out his entire life. Yeah. He's like, what was the film that won Best Film that year at the Oscars?
What was that wearing?
Okay, question two. Todd Haynes directed Carol in 2015. Name two other Todd Haynes films.
Is that what you
have
to do?
I don't know. Safe and Far From Heaven.
I'm going to give Outtakes the point on that.
Velvet Goldmine, Poison.
You got to go, bang. I don't know.
Wonderland.
Okay, I'm going to play another clip. And for this question, you just have to name the film and the two actors who we can hear in this clip.
I had a hunch about you, sir.
You did?
Yes, sir. I had a hunch you might be a real romantic.
He used us as bait. Oh, what's the name of the film? I'm trying to think. No.
No, it's not that. You're going to say Suddenly Last Summer. Yeah, it's not Suddenly Last Summer. Right.
No,
did
I'm going to
get did last summer. What
one of the actors there, the one who says you're a real romantic, is Nicholas Holt.
Oh,
single man. All right. So we're going to say, what's his name? Colin Firth. Mm-hmm. Is that the other actor?
Yes, okay. That's right. But I gave you a big...
That was a pretty big hint.
Yes, that was... I wouldn't have picked
Thank
that.
You.
All right, next question. I have to read my handwriting.
That's always a good sign.
Just figured out what I wrote. Which American director does Luca Guadagnino cite as his biggest influence? Silence.
Well, we're not going to say James Ivory, are we, or not? No,
I don't. I don't. Especially after their spat.
Yeah, I know exactly, because it's not that. Spielberg.
Okay, there's a clip from a film by this director in one of his most famous films.
Paul, you are really letting down people now. Like, I literally rely on you for this.
The answer is Jonathan Demme, and you should know that, Conrad.
Oh, yeah, that's
you
right.
should
yes.
know that.
Slap on the wrist.
Yes. Yeah. Bang. All right, bang. I'm going to play a song.
What was the clip? What was the clip in what film? Sorry.
They played a clip of Tom Hanks
Philadelphia.
Dancing to... Yeah. Right, so I'm going to play a song from Hedwig, and you need to tell me what Hedwig is singing about.
August 13th, 1961. A wall
Berlin
was erected in the middle of the city of Berlin.
What are they really thinking about? Who is the Berlin Wall?
And the Berlin Wall was the most hated symbol of that divide.
Man and woman.
I was looking
Black
for Hedwig,
white,
but I'm
going to
give you the point anyway.
Can I just say, I know this is completely nothing to do with it, but I actually was in Berlin when the Berlin Wall came down.
Oh my God.
This is one of my favourite films of all time.
Oh, me too.
Are you going to the live show?
I love it. Mm-hmm. I am going to the live show. I was so excited. Paul and I are going together.
Woo. I'm going to play a song, and you need to finish the next phrase. Okay, what's the next phrase in the song?
Be our guest, be our guest, put our service to the test. Tie your napkin round your neck.
Paul, if you don't get this, it will be really embarrassing.
Come on, Conrad.
Soup du jour.
I was going to do the Simpsons version of this.
Paul, this is your wheelhouse, Paul.
Everyone's talking with. Can we play it again?
I'm going to play it again. I'm playing it again.
And we provide the rest. Soup du jour, hot hors d'oeuvre. Why, we only live to serve.
So this is really truly embarrassing. So Paul and I both worked at Disney. Like, that's how Paul and I are originally met.
And I love Beauty and the Beast.
Paul,
I'm like getting
here you go.
Like,
does this ring any bells?
Try the grey stuff. It's delicious.
Yeah,
don't believe me.
Oh, you're all good now. Now no memory issues at all.
He's lip syncing for his life
now.
Over there.
Amazing.
I'm like, it's stage fright.
Kylie, you stay, Paul. Yeah. Shantae, away.
Exactly.
I mean, look, I'm the one that doesn't have stage fright but have no knowledge.
Okay.
Paul is the one with the knowledge.
I'm as great as a beetroot right now.
I'm just going to point out that each team is now on 2 points.
I'm going to point out that we haven't heard any Nicole Kidman yet. And
there's no Nicole Kidman in this bit. I've been very good, very well behaved. There's only one question left.
Oh,
so the winner, whoever gets this question wins. So name the name of the song and the film that it's from.
Here in the dark, I stand before you.
Oh, Kylie.
This is my chance to show you
the name of the song.
This is the start. This is the
It's not Dream Girls.
I have so much to say, and I'm hoping that you're.
No. I feel like I should really know this. I feel like this is really in my wheelhouse.
Drag queens across Australia. Screaming at the top of the line.
You know what? It's kind of, I guess, fortuitous because it means that it's a tie. And I feel like that's a good way to end.
We did that deliberately, didn't we, guys? We didn't answer it.
Yeah. The song was Here's Where I Stand, and it was from Camp. It was from Camp.
God. We are so bad.
Bad goes. We'll just hand in our membership on the way out.
Quizzes are just not my thing.
Oh my God, we are terrible.
Oh, of course it was.
Yeah, wow. Boy.
Come on, you know the film. You know
we do know it.
You know the film, but I don't really know the soundtrack.
No, exactly.
By memory.
Anyway, Stephen Song.
I think that's a good way to wrap up our Radiothon program on Outtakes. Paul and Kylie, thank you both so much for joining us this evening. It's been a pleasure to have you in the studio.
It's been a fantastic trip down memory lane.
Thank you.
That's it for another week on Outtakes. So do take the opportunity to renew your membership. A Radiothon runs until the end of the week, and we need every membership that we can get.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.